Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg spoke at Tsinghua University in Beijing yesterday, where he surprised his audience with this. Zuckerberg went on to give a 30-minute question and answer session mostly in Mandarin, which in 2014 is a pretty useful thing to be able to do if you're running a global business. Derek Thompson of The Atlantic joins us from New York with more on this. Derek, welcome back.
Good to be back.
And we know that Zuckerberg's wife is from a Chinese-American family, but it's clear that no one knew that he was so fluent in Mandarin.
This is a huge surprise to everybody. Zuckerberg himself listed three reasons for studying Chinese. First, to speak to his in-laws. Second, to better understand Chinese culture. And third, to take on a challenge. Chinese is rather difficult because of its tonal differences from English. But there's another thing here that went unsaid by Zuckerberg, which is that China, the second largest economy in the world, has banned use of the social media site. So
right.
Facebook can help Chinese companies find customers outside China, but it can't help companies find customers inside of China. He'd like to change that.
So do you think this can make a difference that the CEO of this company is speaking in Mandarin? Is that going to assuage the fears of these Chinese leaders who don't want Facebook to be available to users in China?
I think today surprised a lot of people and was a remarkable few minutes, but I don't subscribe to the great man theory of history and don't think this will be enough to change exactly what's happening in China. It's not just Facebook that's banned. It's the New York Times, Bloomberg, YouTube,
yeah.
Twitter. This is bigger than Facebook. This is about Chinese government.
How common is it among CEOs or business leaders in the U.S. to be able to speak Chinese?
It's not uncommon for a business leader who does a lot of work in China, but the U.S. has a bad track record when it comes to speaking languages that aren't English. Sociologists have called the United States a cemetery for language. People come here and they end up just speaking the English language. We're divided from the world by two oceans. We tend to think that we can speak whatever language we want and get away with it. And so we're somewhat famously monolinguistic. But we've allowed to be monolinguistic because we've been the dominant economic and cultural powerhouse of the world for the last century. And I don't think anybody realistically expects us to have the same amount of dominance in the next century. I think people look to East Asia in particular as being the future demographically, economically, perhaps culturally. And so as you see more business go over there, it's inevitable that more CEOs are going to surprise with their Mandarin skills a bit like Zuckerberg did today.
Well, and I remember back to my high school and they had French, Spanish, German, Japanese, Russian and Latin. What about in business schools today? Are they teaching Chinese? Is that a key part of the curriculum?
I wouldn't necessarily say it's a key part of the curriculum, but it's definitely on the move. Columbia has a global immersion program in China. Harvard participates in a senior executive program designed for business people doing work in China, which is not like the other major economies of the world. It's a maze of free market and state-controlled companies and semi-state-controlled companies. And so navigating business there is very different from the rest of the world. But as you said, I think this is the crucial point. Just shy of 1 billion people in the world speak Mandarin. It is the most spoken native language in the world. 1 billion people means there are as many native Mandarin speakers as there are English and Spanish and Japanese speakers combined. So this is the language, I think, of the future if you think that demographics is destiny.
And I can say, because I tried it for a little bit on Rosetta Stone, it's not an easy language to learn. Derek
Thompson. It is not an easy language to learn.
Derek Thompson of The Atlantic, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.